Okay. Well, good morning to everyone, and I'd like to begin the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District meeting this morning on June 8th, 2022. Looking at the agenda, we'll go to item number one, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. And Ruben, can you please tee that up for us? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. We'll go to item number two, roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Santana?
Present.
President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. Let the record show that all members are present for this morning's meeting. We'll go to item number three for the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to move?
So moved.
Second, Trevino.
Is it moved and seconded to approve the agenda as presented? Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to public comments. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. A 3-minute time limit on remarks is requested. Do we have any written or oral comments from the public, Vanessa?
Good morning, President Chavez. We have not received any written comments, and at this time, I do not see any hands raised.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll move on to item number five, committee reports. There are two reports in our packets for the water resources and government affairs. If anyone likes to add anything to those reports, may do so at this time. If not, we will receive and file those. We'll go to item number six, consent calendar. There are a couple of items on consent. Is there a motion to approve these consent items?
So moved. Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve these items. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Chavez, aye. Item number six has been passed on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number seven. Several action items. We'll start off with 7A, discretionary payment for upper districts, unfunded accrued liability with CalPERS. There's a recommendation that came from the Administration and Finance Committee. Tom, can you give us a briefing on this item before we take any action?
Yeah, so this was discussed at committee yesterday. The committee recommends approval to the Board of Directors. This is similar to what we did last year, where we looked at our OPEB liability, other post-employment benefit liability, and the board approved creating a trust fund, and we put an initial investment into that trust fund to help mitigate our liability, as well as to earn a higher discount rate or rate of return on that long-term investment. This is very similar, but this is the pension liability that we get from CalPERS. And so what this is to, number one, pre-fund some of that liability. In other words, pay it down early, and it has substantial savings of a little over $1 million, in addition to create a similar trust fund, but for pension liability. And the recommendation of staff is to fund that trust fund at $500,000. So it's to an additional discretionary payment of $1 million to CalPERS to reduce our unfunded liability and to create the trust fund, designate the general manager and the director of finance as the authorized officers, and to approve an initial one-time trust fund funding of $500,000.
Thank you. Any questions on the staff report?
Move approval, Trevino.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve item 7A. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That 7I is 7A has been voted upon on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to 7B, professional services agreements with Sotos Resources as need services for grant writing assistance. Again, a recommendation has come out of the Government Affairs Committee. Tom, a brief report.
We can't
hear. Hello, Tom, can you do a brief report on 7B?
Yeah, I apologize. I was on mute. And it was a great report. Sotos Resources is been providing us with grant writing and grant administration services for a number of years. Some of the grants we previously have received have annual reporting requirements, and Sotos Resources prepares those annual reports, tracks that requirement, makes sure those are done in a timely manner, and also helps us identify new grant opportunities. One of the ones that we're working on now is with the reforestation. And Sotos Resources has been assisting us with that. So they've helped us be fairly successful on receiving grants, and we see continuing opportunities for additional grants. One of the ones we're going to look into is we do need to make some improvements on the Whittier Narrows portion of our recycled water system, and we're going to work with Sotos Resources to see if we can find some grant funds to help us with that project. And there's several other in the queue as well. So the committee did review this, and the committee's recommendation and staff's recommendation is to approve this contract.
And can I add that?
Yes, go ahead.
They've done an outstanding job for us, and so I would like to move this motion.
Second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve item 7B. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. That was item 7B. Now we'll go to 7C, which is a professional service agreement with Ecotech Services, Inc. for the administration of Upper District's Conservation Program. That received a recommendation from the Government Affairs Committee. And Tom, can you brief us on that, please?
Yeah, Ecotech has been providing us conservation services as well for some time. They do a tremendous job. They administered our recent Water Smart Home Program. Is a valuable resource. And with the current water crisis, it's even more important that we keep this resource available to us to achieve our goals on water conservation. And as mentioned, the committee did recommend approval, and staff are recommending that we approve this contract in an amount not to exceed $220,000.
Move the item, Trevino.
Is there a second?
Second, fellow.
It's been moved and seconded to approve 7C. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote, and that will conclude item number 7. We'll go to item number 8, which is informational items, press releases, and news articles you could read at your leisure. We'll go to item number 9, attorney's report. Mr. O'Neill, available.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just a couple of things I wanted to bring to the board's attention today. Number one, I think I reported previously on the San Diego versus Metropolitan lawsuit. That case is winding up. There was recent testimony on June 3rd, and Metropolitan was not able to complete its case in chief, and so they have to go back on June 24th to take one more day of testimony. The court obviously has a very busy calendar, and that's the next available date for the court to take testimony. Thereafter, the parties come back in August to submit final briefing and argument, and then the matter is taken under submission. We had a conference yesterday with the Met litigation team, and they expect a ruling sometime in probably October. The issue is San Diego is claiming that Metropolitan breached the 2003 exchange agreement involving water that was transferred from the Imperial Irrigation District to San Diego, which Metropolitan moved through its system down to the San Diego service area. So I'll probably be reporting back again sometime in July or August when the case gets close to final argument. On another more, more contemporary matter, I don't know if anybody's been watching this, but it's been in the news a bit with the actions that the Las Virgenes Water District has had to take regard to excessive use in its service area. There were another client of ours that my partner Keith Lemieux covers. And the way and Las Virgenes is a retailer, so of course a little different than Upper District, but they also are a Met member agency, and they're like Upper District. They're one of the Met members that are totally dependent on State Water Project water, and they're in a pretty critical condition. Their service area is essentially the western San Fernando Valley, Calabasas, Agoura Hills, Agoura, those communities, and they have a water budget in place, meaning each homeowner is assigned a budget about how much water they can use. And there's a determination that if you exceed your budget allocation, you know, that constitutes waste and you're wasting water. And so they have kind of enforcement mechanisms built into their administrative code that are kind of an escalating penalties. Like level one, you get a written warning. Level two, you get another written warning and some price signaling. And so the thinking is that the more expensive the water is, the more likely it is for one to reduce their use. And unfortunately, they found that in that community, which has some very, very wealthy pockets, that some of the price signaling isn't working. I mean, people if you go over your water budget in the level of what's the tier they're involved in right now, there's some pretty severe penalties, and some homeowners just don't seem to care. I guess they have enough money to pay for it. So they've gone into one of their higher levels of escalating incentives, or at this point, it's not even an incentive, because they've installed these flow restrictors, which I was on KABC, I believe, 2 days ago, and the LA Times yesterday, which they've come up with this little, it looks kind of like a quarter or an old slug with a small hole in the middle. And it's installed on the homeowner's meter. And it does allow for interior use. I mean, your kitchen sink will work, your shower will work, but at very low pressure. But evidently, it cannot support outdoor irrigation systems. And so it's designed to allow for interior domestic use, but not for irrigation. And so they have a lot of people who could be subject to this. But at this point, I think they put it on four homeowners. That's the only installation that's gone in. And the way it works is that it has to be in for, according to their code, a minimum of 14 days and up to 30 days at the discretion of the general manager. So it's something I've never seen before in 30 years of doing this. But as I guess it's a sign of the times, this is an agency with totally dependent on Met systems, has no groundwater, does have a pretty active recycled water system, but of course it's not plumbed for individual use. So that's where we are with that situation. There is an appeal process for the homeowner if there is a leak or a malfunctioning system or some specific health and safety needs. But at this point, they've just been implemented. It's just a handful of homes. And, you know, we'll see where this ends up, if there's going to be more installed or less, or these are going to be taken out. But we'll see where we are moving forward. So I just wanted to check in with the board on that, because I know it's been in the news a fair amount. I mean, it's gone from, like Tom, like from NPR to local news, now to the LA Times. So it's kind of an interesting story, given the populace out there. I mean, one of the things that they were concerned about was Kanye West's house, but evidently he's taking corrective action. So, anyway, that concludes my attorney's report.
Mr. President, Chavez.
Yes.
Can I ask Mr. O'Neill a question? I've been interested. It meant they've talked a lot about to obtain water for health and safety from the State Water Project, that entities have to have an enforcement agency. And I've spent some time with Larry Spicer, the councilman in Monrovia, which has implemented strict conservation measures. Who has the power to regulate, like to fine people? Do city councils? I don't think we do.
You do.
Okay.
Yeah, Las Virgenes has its own, in its code, it has its own penalty structure. And the Municipal Water District Act gives municipal water districts pretty broad powers. And so it's in some ways an inherent police power, not law enforcement police, but the kind of general government police power to take action and have the power to protect public property and health. And so the thinking here is that wasting water is in this climate and in this condition constitutes a threat to the public, and they have the authority to levy these fines.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for our attorney? If not, then thank you, Mr. O'Neill. We'll go to item number 10, the engineer's report, and Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, directors. Steve's not in today, so I'll be writing the engineer's report. Key well elevation as of Friday, June 3rd, was 186.3 feet. There's no change from the prior week. So now the key well has finally stopped increasing, and it's starting to level off, and then it'll start to decrease and get back to a normal elevation. This was an increase of about 1.3 feet from the prior month, about 7 feet lower than a year ago. And there was about 128,000 acre feet of untreated imported water into cyclic storage accounts. And the reservoir, canyon reservoirs, Morris Reservoir was releasing 24 CFS, and then that was being all released to the Committee of Nine. Total storage as of June 6 was 18,176 acre feet, which is about 22% of average. There are no deliveries through USG3 during May, and no deliveries into the Canyon Spreading Grounds during May. Rainfall, this is through the end of May, at Puddingstone Dam was 11.42 inches, which is 63% of average. LA Civic Center, they received through the end of May 12.39 inches, which is 82% of average. And Stetson received no public notice of well shutdown due to contamination. And I just wanted to mention that received production through the third quarter, which is through end of March, and it totaled 137,219 acre feet. And if you look through historical records, when we had the the lowest groundwater production during fiscal year 15-16 through the third quarter. That was about 133,976 acre feet. So if fourth quarter is, you know, if the production demand is low, we could get about total production for the fiscal year about around 185,000 acre feet. And that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for our engineers report, directors? If not, thank you for that. And we will go to item number 11, general manager's report. Mr. Love.
Yeah, and Ruben, I'm going to share a different QL chart. I'm mainly going to talk about the drought and our drought actions, what's going on. So this is the QL chart that Jenny prepared for us and projected where the QL will go throughout this year based on certain assumptions. One of those assumptions is that production, basin-wide production, is 190,000 acre feet. Our conservation efforts are trying to get that production, basin production, down to closer to 180,000 acre feet. The red diamonds here are the actual QL measurements over the last month or so. And so we're using this to monitor how well we're doing compared to this projection, which shows the QL hitting that historic low of 169 feet near sometime in November. And it looks like we're doing a little better, certainly because of that water release. We did anticipate a little bump up in the QL in the projection, but the QL has come up a bit more. We think it'll come down fairly rapidly as the mound dissipates, but we're going to be monitoring that on a weekly basis just to see how well we're doing. We've got a great response from the producers to our request to go to 2 days a week. The majority of them, about 13, are at 2 days a week. One is at 1 day a week. There are a few who are at 3 days a week, but emphasizing 20% conservation. One agency is at 4 days a week, not 4 days a week. Once every 4 days, it's a little different way of doing it. That is, and if you calculate that, that's less than 2 days a week. So we've gotten a good response so far. We're still waiting to hear from a few others. Some of them, it takes them a bit of time to get through their process to put this in place. But I think we're seeing a good response. Our outreach campaign is moving well. We've got some, electronic billboards. You know, the posters are going out at the bus shelters, in the communities, social media, all of the outreach avenues. We are making the rounds to city councils. We've spoken to Arcadia, Duarte, and Almani city councils. We've got Rosemead on our calendar for next week, and there's others on the calendar throughout the summer. So as we do those in each director's division, we'll make sure you're aware of those and you can plan to attend, with me and Nicole. Just checking my notes here. We've had a couple of good meetings with Los Angeles County Flood Control, discussing what we need to do to move Colorado River water into the San Gabriel River. We're working really hard. In fact, we've reached the point where we're making an initial contact with Fish and Wildlife Service at the high level in Sacramento. Our goal, this is an ambitious goal, is to be able to begin deliveries of Colorado River water by August 1st. The reason we've set that goal is the county wants to make sure we have adequate time after these deliveries are made to allow the river channel to dry out and eradicate the quagga mussels before the typical rainy season, which they state it's October 15th, is when they get really careful about work in their channels and things that might impact their ability for flood control operations. So that's moving along. As I say, it's an ambitious goal. Metropolitan is planning, and at my request, to deliver the allocated water, the state project water, that they have allocated for Upper District, beginning in October, and deliver that water through the final 3 months of the year. It's 14,600 acre feet. That is not shown in that key well forecast that I showed you. And so that's my report on our drought actions. A couple of other things is today, the State Water Board's new restriction that watering non-functional turf is in effect. So non-functional turf would be grass that might be in a street median. And frankly, the grass here around our office is non-functional turf. And a commercial building is non-functional turf. So as of today, it is prohibited by the state to water that grass. And so we'll work to get the message out there. The last thing is to remind the board that at the adjournment of today's meeting, the board will be in recess until the committee meetings in the month of August. That's all I have, and be happy to answer any questions or fill in any additional information.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Love. Any questions from directors? If not, go ahead.
Tom, how much state project water are we getting?
So our allocation is 14,600 acre feet. That does not include state project water we were taking in the spring through the San Gabriel pipeline, delivering to the Canyon Basin and to the city of Azusa. That 14,000 acre feet, 600 acre feet is what we will get between June 1st and December 31st. But because it's a replenishment delivery, it's beneficial for us and Matt, if that delivery is made, in the fall.
Is that water being wheeled through the 4C?
No, our intent when we make that final delivery of 14,600 acre feet, we will use it. We will deliver it through USG3, at probably around 250 cubic feet per second. And it'll take us about 60, 70 days to complete that delivery.
Mm-hmm. And is that the full allotment that we asked for? Did we get the full?
Well, we asked for a lot more. That's the full allotment that Matt has available. When they allocate it to the six member agencies who are in a state water dependent areas, and it's a calculation that's based on, and if you've got local water available, you got less of the health and safety water that DWR is allocated. All those six agencies, so for the 5% allocation water, all six agencies got an equivalent amount based on population. So they got, I think it was 26 gallons per capita per day based on our population. The health and safety water, if the agencies had local water like Inland Empire Utilities, LADWP with their Owens Valley water and Upper District with our stored groundwater, we got a less of the health and safety water. But I'm glad you asked that question and you know, reminded me when Steve was talking about Las Virgenes. So Las Virgenes is appealing to Department of Water Resources on the health and safety water because and their argument is related to fire prevention. So it wasn't that long ago they had that Woolsey fire where Met Director Glenn Peterson lost his home. Stephen O'Neill lost his home. So Las Virgenes is making the argument they need some additional health and safety water for that fire prevention. And I think Inland Empire Utilities Agency and Las Virgenes Municipal, Three Valleys Municipal, Cayagas, and the City of LA have joined with them in that appeal to the Department of Water Resources.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, so Mr. Love, you could conclude it?
Yes, that concludes my report.
Okay, go to the Metropolitan report, Dr. Pillow.
Mr. Chavez, the Metropolitan will meet Monday and Tuesday of next week. I was going to just mention something about the San Diego lawsuit, but Mr. O'Neill did an outstanding job, and so I have nothing else to add. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll go to the next item. And that is item number 13, Water Quality Authority Report. That's in the packet. Go to item number 14, Water Master Report. That's also in the packet. Does anybody need to add anything to that? If not, we'll go to item number 15, AB 1234, Compliance Report. Nothing to add there. And then director's comments. Item number 16, Dr. Fellow.
Just one small comment. You know, since I've come on the Upper District Board many years ago, my goal has always been for educating children. And that's why we have the reforestation project. But I've talked many times about, and I was involved in the Discovery Center at one time till that went away. But still in the back of my mind, one of the things I'd like to do in the next few years is to build some type of water museum still, or in the national monuments that Congresswoman Judy Chu has been working on. And we're going to be talking to her on June 27th. And I've talked to her on and off about this. And I'd like her to become partners and see if she can get some congressional money. But today we talked about the Soto Group, and I'm going to talk to Patty and Tom, and perhaps they can help us get some funds in Washington for some kind of entity such as this. And I'm even looking at some kind of lecture hall there where we could have public lectures. And one of the reasons I've kind of gotten more excited is that when our director, Katrina, being a teacher, Garcia, I've seen her in her classroom, and she's done such a great job. And with her interest in students and the things that she's done in her classroom, I'd like to give her a bigger stage if we had some kind of lecture hall where she could bring in students to do some of the things she does in her classes. But this is my goal the next few years. And when we meet with Congresswoman Chu the 27th, I'd like to bring this up again and maybe get the Soto Group involved. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. We'll go to Director Garcia. Director's reports.
Thank you for the kind words, Tony. I appreciate that. I think that would be amazing. That, like, my wish, and you know, there was space in our building for something similar like that. It would be wonderful to have that, like, on site. I just want to say that I saw my first billboard for all of our new advertisements, and I just wanted to say that our community affairs people do a great job. I saw that they posted something for the Girl Scouts, and I just was so excited to see that post. So thank you for all you do. That's been something that I think is a great way to reach our young people about water, and thank you for reaching out to them and working with them. That was wonderful to see.
Thank you. So we'll go to Director Trevino.
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree that we need to do some outreach to the young folks. As an educator myself, I think it's extremely important. I also think that we can use the facilities that are available in the community colleges throughout our service area. You know, we have great colleges, Rio Hondo, Pasadena City College, and those venues could be important venues for us to bring high school students and students who are interested in the environment. Some of those facilities are underused, and I think that it would be a great vehicle for us to work with the community colleges to have that kind of endeavor. I also want to say that I'm glad that Vice President Harris called water security a foreign policy priority. I've always said that water is a human right, and it's a human right throughout the world. And private corporations should not be allowed to purchase water rights and then resell them to indigenous groups for a profit. And I think it's extremely important that we here in this country create a national water policy, much like Israel did when they became a water surplus country in the middle of a desert. It should be a national security issue for us, and water reliability and water security is extremely important. So I'm excited by that. It's always been a peeve of mine that we got to keep the private corporations, the PepsiCos, the Coca-Colas, the Avions from buying water and making it into a commodity. Water should not be a commodity. It's a public resource available to everybody, regardless of social economic status. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Vice President Santana.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to Tom and Nicole. I've been with them on a few presentations to the cities and other entities, and it's so important that we get the word out. I'm sure you guys have done this a few more times and will be doing it a few more times, and it's always a great reaction that we get. Everyone appreciates the information. And then I also wanted to wish anyone who's going to Aqua DC from our group good luck.
Okay. With that, thank you. To conclude the director's reports, I just want to congratulate all those people that have won their elections yesterday. And some people won, but they have to face a runoff in November. So I wish them luck as well. With that, that concludes director's comments. And then item number 17, future agenda items. Those could be shared with me or Mr. Love should we need anything on future agendas. And then item 18, we have no closed session. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Then other than that, we'll go to number 19. And before we adjourn, Mr. Love, is there anything, any other further business that the board needs to address?
No, that is all for today, Director.
Okay, we're all good. So thank you for participating. Thank you for those people that are listening online, and wish everyone a good day. Thank you.